Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. A new Senate bill would provide for a $1,600 permanent fund dividend this year. It would allow the state spending on the dividend to stay within the mandates of a law passed last year that aims to allow the fund to grow by keeping draws from the fund earnings at a sustainable level. Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman told the Senate Rules Committee that paying out a full dividend under the 1982 law would require the state to violate last year's law. The law set a maximum draw this year of 5.25% of the fund's value.
If we, Mr. Chairman, go in and start drawing over 5.25% virtually right away, it's only been a year since we set that amount, the permanent fund will find itself in a position where they can't rely on the legislature on guidance on how much we're going to demand at any given year.
Stedman says this will lead to lower permanent fund growth in the future. That's because the fund would have less in earnings money to invest. And the lack of predictability could lead the fund to change how it invests. Governor Mike Dunleavy says he would veto the Senate bill. He supports following the traditional dividend formula. Dunleavy says he wants to see an amendment to restore a full PFD. The bill would draw most of the money from the state's general fund, which is income from permanent fund earnings and other revenue, including oil taxes and royalties. It would also draw from two other savings accounts, the statutory budget reserve and the Alaska Higher Education Investment Fund. Anchorage Republican Senator Natasha von Imhoff says having a larger dividend that pulls from state savings will put pressure on the state to reintroduce an income tax.
And for us to do an income tax on hardworking citizens to turn around and deposit it into their neighbor's checking account is not a Republican fiscal conservative value, at least not in my book.
The Senate floor debate on the bill could begin as soon as tomorrow. As Carnival Corporation executives appeared in a federal courtroom in Miami to answer for felony probation violations, Southeast Alaskans penned letters to the court urging the judge to take tough action. But as Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, the Dunleavy administration counseled the judge not to do anything that would threaten Alaska's tourism sector.
The federal case is in Miami, but 3,400 miles away, Alaskans have strong opinions about what should be done about Carnival caught violating its felony probation by polluting, then falsifying records to cover it up.
We're all in favor of the tourism industry as long as the ships don't pollute.
That's Theodore Chip Toma of Responsible Cruising in Alaska.
But if they pollute and continue on with these practices, then they're going to have to face the consequences. And those consequences are fines and prohibiting access into Glacier Bay.
A Holland America cruise ship illegally dumped 26,000 gallons of gray water in Glacier Bay National Park. Gray water is wastewater from sinks, showers, and baths. It's not poop, but it's still illegal. And the crew of the Carnival-owned cruise ship Westerdam made matters worse when they didn't immediately report it to the Coast Guard. The National Park Service fined the cruise line $250. Then it granted Carnival another 10-year concession for its ships to visit the park. Critics in Southeast say there has to be greater consequences for pollution. Eric Forer is a retired fisherman in Juneau. Both he and Toma were among at least four Southeast Alaskans that urged the court not to let Carnival off lightly.
Until being dirty is more expensive than being clean, they will continue to be dirty.
Retired commercial fisherman Ron Bushman was another.
In Petersburg, we live out of the water. I mean, that's where we get our livelihood. That's where we get our dinner, and it's important to protect that.
These Southeast Alaskans petitioned to intervene in the case under the Crime Victims' Rights Act. That would give them special rights to be heard by the court and kept up to date with proceedings. Federal prosecutors opposed the filing because they argued Alaskans failed to prove any direct harm from Carnival's criminal actions. Carnival's five-year felony probation stemmed from a 2016 conviction for dumping oily waste in the water and then trying to conceal it from regulators. In April, U.S. District Judge Patricia Seitz threatened to temporarily block Carnival Corporation from docking any of its ships in U.S. ports. That caught the Dunleavy administration's attention.
Obviously, such a ban would have significant impact on the state and its local communities.
Cameron Jimmo is an assistant attorney general for the state of Alaska.
And just to ensure that the judge had weighed the collateral impacts that could occur before making such a decision, The state felt it was necessary to chime in.
That was through a pair of letters to the court from Alaska's governor and attorney general. Governor Mike Dunleavy wrote that he understood Carnival has made mistakes and that he understood the corporate leadership was prepared to accept responsibility for these lapses, and to propose a way to move forward. On Monday afternoon, the federal judge accepted a new plea deal with prosecutors. Carnival will pay an additional $20 million fine and submit to even more stringent monitoring. The 13-page settlement also includes corporate restructuring to create a new chief compliance officer. Carnival Corporation says its agreement with the Department of Justice would in part ensure the strongest and most sustainable environmental compliance program. Here's spokesman Chris Kredick speaking from Monday's statement.
Carnival Corporation remains committed to environmental excellence and protecting the environment in which we live, work, and travel. Our aspiration is to leave the places we touch even better than when we first arrived.
Monday's settlement represents the fourth time Carnival admitted to criminal wrongdoing since 1998. Eric Forer, the fisherman from Juneau, says he doesn't understand why the cruise giant keeps trying to get away with it.
Why aren't they bending over backwards to operate in a clean way? It just defies logic. I don't know what the hell their problem is.
The new agreement sets deadlines in September and October. Failure to abide by the new terms would be daily fines of $1 million, increasing to $10 million a day. Cruise ship critics decried the settlement as another slap on the wrist. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
Two Alaska rivers are now featured on their own postage stamps. National Forest Service and U.S. Postal Service unveiled forever stamps for the rivers earlier this week as part of a series highlighting wild and scenic rivers nationwide. Alaska Public Media's Amy Mostafa has more.
Letter writers across the country can now buy forever stamps featuring Alaska's Tilka-Kila and Koyukuk rivers. Running through the states Lake Clark and Gates of the Arctic National Parks, the two are among over 200 rivers designated by Congress as wild and scenic since the program started in the 1960s. That means the rivers stand out for their fish and wildlife, geology, culture, or history. Because of that value, their flow largely hasn't been interfered with. The water remains unpolluted, and they're mainly accessible by trails only. Less than 1% of the state's more than 300,000 miles of river have the designation. That portion is even lower nationwide. Bert Frost is the regional director of the National Park Service. He says the exposure the rivers are getting is important.
People know a lot about Alaska. They know it's remote. But now they can actually put a name. They can say Koyukuk River. And they can say, oh, I know that. I've seen a stamp on that. Or they'll try to say Tilka-Kila, but people will have a hard time trying to pronounce that. But they'll say, well, that's in Lake Clark. Well, where is Lake Clark? And so people may, you know, they may pique their interest, and they may say, well, maybe we need to go visit one of these places and see, you know, why these rivers are so extraordinary. What's so special about them that they actually got on a stamp?
Lake Clark National Park Superintendent Suzanne Flea Green says the number of visitors to Alaska's parks has been on the rise in recent years, playing a bigger role in bringing in revenue for local residents. Lake Clark alone has over 80 commercial operators. The national park is home to the Tilka-Kila River, one of the featured rivers designated as wild since 1980.
For people that still go out there in the summer and the fall and really are supporting their families by living off the land and having a very close relationship with the resources, it's important that we have the status of a wild and scenic river because it enables us to ensure that generations to come will still be able to go and fish and hunt and trap in the area.
Stamps depicting the two rivers are now available at USPS offices nationwide. In Anchorage, I'm Amy Mostafa.
Federal scientists are opening an official investigation into what's causing the spike in gray whale deaths in the Pacific Ocean, including along Alaska's coast. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration announced Friday that the 70 dead whales seen this year, it constitutes what's called an unusual mortality event. So far this year, at least 70 dead gray whales have been reported, including one just discovered in the Alaska Peninsula town of Chignik Bay. It's the fifth one found in state waters this migratory season. Scientists say many of the dead whales appear to be very skinny. That's raising questions about whether global warming and reduced sea ice are affecting their feeding grounds in the Arctic and their primary prey, shrimp-like creatures called amphipods. On a call with reporters, University of Washington oceanographer Sue Moore says the explanation is elusive.
The Arctic is changing very, very quickly, and whales are going to have to adjust to that. But gray whales are good at eating a variety of things. So it becomes a complex question very quickly.
NOAA officials say it could take months to years to assign a cause to the deaths. And we have a clarification for a story we aired Friday about the NTSB's preliminary report on the fatal May 20th float plane crash near Metlakatla. We reported the pilot had only logged 5 hours of experience flying float planes, but omitted that that figure was as of April 22nd. Looking ahead at the Juneau, Borough, and Northern Admiralty Island forecast, tonight, numerous rain showers, low in the mid-40s, light winds. Tuesday, numerous rain showers, high in the mid-50s, light winds. In the Menahal Valley, highs around 60. That's the KTOO News Update for Monday, June 3rd, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea.